stop me if you've heard this one. The Tennessee Titans won ugly. Stop me if you've heard this one. Tennessee Titans beat the Indianapolis Colts. Stop me if you've heard this one. Tennessee Titans win after an extended break. This, in this case, coming off their bye. Stop me if you've heard this one. Tennessee Titans alone in first place in the AFC South. This is the Believe in Titans podcast coming to you a day after the Titans dispatched the Indianapolis Colts 19-10, in a day where they did not score an offensive touchdown. The first time, in fact, since Ryan Tannehill became their starting quarterback, that the offense did not score a touchdown. But they never trailed. They moved the ball well. They got on the other side of midfield much of the day, got into field goal position for Randy Bullock, got a big interception return for a touchdown by Andrew Adams, which, of course, everybody saw coming. They knew that was going to happen. But these are your 2022 Tennessee Titans. Six games into the season, they have not scored more than 24 points in a game. But they're 4-2, two victories over the Colts. You can find things to nitpick aplenty, but all in all, I think it's tough to complain. But we'll see how we approach all this with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
David, I was great until you said stop you. You sound like one of those old 1970s. Like you're trying to get a record deal here, man.
And John Glennon. John, how are you?
I am doing well. I found you unstoppable in your approach there, David.
Well, we do what we can. And again, this is the Believe in Titans podcast, which is brought to you by Bet Online. Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all sports betting needs this season. You'll also find the latest odds, team, matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, gentlemen, let's start with, I guess, the most interesting, most compelling sort of moment of the game. The most heart-stopping moment was when Ryan Tannehill needed some attention on the field from trainers, missed a play, was clearly in discomfort with a right ankle injury the rest of the way, but made it the rest of the way. His status for this coming Sunday at Houston will be determined as the week goes. Denard, you played with a tough quarterback back in your day. How inspirational can it be for a guy like that to sort of gut it out the way Ryan Tannehill did on Sunday?
Well, the most important thing is he came back in the game. So that shows you his heart. It shows you his resiliency. And that's what you love about RT. He's one of the best in the business. And I don't think this ankle injury or whatever it is, lower leg injury, it's going to be a problem. It's not going to stop Ryan from going next Sunday when they go to Houston and play. So he will be back. He definitely will be back.
John, we saw in this game too, Malik Willis get on the field a couple of times in sort of a different formation where he lined up in the slot. They tried to hand the ball to him once on a jet sweep. It turned into a fumble. He only played one play at quarterback while Tannehill was being tended to. It looks like the Titans are planning now to start working Malik Willis into some things, into some packages, do some things. We all know he's the quarterback of the future for this team. Does that send up any additional alarms to Ryan Tannehill when they start putting those things in the game plan?
I don't think so. I think the Titans are finally to the point where they can maybe trust Malik Willis and some of these packages, and why not? I know it's a fine line. You don't want to risk getting even your backup quarterback hurt by playing him in too many plays. But when you've got some of the skill set that Malik Willis has, not just as a passer, obviously, but as a runner. I mean, you look at what he did in terms of yardage in college. I think the Titans are getting to that point where they say, hey, okay, he's ready. Well, let's work him into a few plays here. Not necessarily a quarterback, but at a wide receiver, running back, slot type to position, and see what we have. And I think you especially have to do that, take advantage of those kind of things right now, where you look at the Titans wide receiver core in the game, and the lack of explosive ability and athleticism in that group that isn't going to scare too many people. And maybe adding Malik Willis to the equation there gives you a few more options. So I kind of like that idea. You can't go too far. Again, the more he plays, the more you risk injury, and you don't want to see that from any quarterback. But I like to see some creativity with Malik given his skill set.
Denard, let me ask you this. For the sake of argument, let's say that was meant to be just a simple handoff. Willis takes the handoff, goes to his left, turns it up at some point, gets what he can out of it. How much would that set up future defenses for him to throw the ball or do something different there? Or even if the fact that the play didn't work, does that still set them up to do something more off of that same sort of look down the line here?
It depends on the offensive coordinator, Todd Downing. I mean, it's what are you willing to do with them at this point of the season? When I heard you talk about that, the first thing that came to my mind was Cordell Stewart when he was at Pittsburgh, when they drafted him and was at 95. And before he took over that job from Neil O'Donnell, that's what they did. I mean, Steelers used him in that, what they call it, was that receiver. They put
slash.
Him at sometimes. Yeah, slash. Yeah, he was all over the field. And they, again, I mean, the athleticism that he showed that year, he's one of the top rookies that year in 1995. But, I mean, yeah, especially at the receiving core, you got Traylon on IR, and so you need some help there. So I think that would be a great addition. I mean, we talked about his footwork, his athleticism, how strong he is. He's a great athlete. So, yeah, find a way to put him on the field. I think that would be a great idea. I think it's just another arsenal in your offense.
I thought it was really a funny but a telling moment too when Ryan Tannehill went to the tent to get his ankle looked at. The bench that the offensive players use, the very last seat on the left end goes to the quarterback, and Todd Downing has a chair that's right next to that. And after each possession, Downing and Tannehill sit there and they go through whatever it is they go through with the iPad or whatever, whichever one they use. And while Tannehill was in the tent, because that was the play he missed was a third down play, the Titans didn't pick it up, offense comes to the side of the field, Malik Willis is sitting there with Todd Downing, and Tannehill came out of the tent and basically shooed Malik Willis from the seat and said, like it wasn't an aggressive thing or anything, but it was sort of like, hey, Malik, you're in my spot. You need to get up. And Tannehill sat down. And I mean, it was pretty clear at that moment that he intended to go back in the game. I mean, we all know, he knows, as I mentioned, Malik Willis is the quarterback of the future of this team. But Ryan Tannehill is undoubtedly determined to do everything he can to make sure the future is somewhere out there and not coming anytime soon. But this is the first time this guy has started 49 regular season games in a row. He's five additional playoff games. They're 36-18 with him at quarterback. I mean, there's a lot to like. This is the first time since he's been with the Titans he's going to have to play through some injury issues, and that's going to be interesting to watch going forward here, how he handles that. My guess is that leg, that ankle, that foot, whatever it is, we were told ankle, but you know, you can never trust teams fully with these matters. Probably feels a lot worse today than it did yesterday. Is that fair, Denard?
Yes, it's Monday. it hurts, but he'll be back. Again, when you go back into the game, it's not as serious as is probably we're going to think it's going to be. Listen, if he was not in the game, then I'm like, okay, there are some red flags here. You know, we need to worry about. But again, Ron is tough. He's a resilient quarterback. There is a reason he started 49 regular season games. He's one of the toughest quarterbacks in the business. So this is something that to me, David, it's a non-issue.
I wonder though, like you said, you know, today on Monday, and you know, my experience as a layperson with athletes just playing, you know, weekend warrior stuff, man, it feels a heck of a lot worse on Monday than it did on Sunday. Even if you can finish a game or finish whatever you're doing on Sunday, Monday's tough. And you know, Ryan's not a youngster either. You know, and to see him limping around afterwards in that walking boot, I don't know. I may be not quite as confident as you, Denard. But
let me say this: Eddie George, after probably 50 to 60% of the games, he was in a boot on Mondays. On Tuesdays, he was in the training room getting his rehab in. By Wednesday, he is rolling. I mean, like nothing's happened. So it's not unusual. Everybody is hurting on Mondays. It's just some guys you see a little bit more than others. But again, what you can tell about Ron is if it was serious, I don't think they would have brought him back in the game. Right. And it's probably just, like I said, a lower leg injury. I've had those. I'm in the training room on Mondays and Tuesdays. But again, by Wednesday, you heal up fast.
That's interesting. And as a segue here, I guess if there was ever a game that he would say, I don't want to go back in, maybe this was the one. John, you referenced this. The Titans went into that game. This was their wide receiver group. Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Cody Hollister, and Mason Kinsey. You've got Treylon Burks and Racy McMath still on injured reserve. Kyle Phillips got hurt Friday during practice, couldn't go on Sunday. I mean, again, Woods, Westbrook, Ikhina, Hollister, Mason Kinsey. That is not exactly an all-star quartet of wide receivers. And Titans found a way to win this game with that bunch. It sounds like Racy McMath's not coming back anytime soon. We know Burks has to miss, at least one more game. We don't know with him. I mean, is this sustainable with this group, John Glennon? Can the Titans keep winning games if they have to go with that kind of wide receiver lineup?
It depends on who they're playing. And I think that's what you can say about the Titans in a lot of different ways. And it's, I think especially with the offense and especially with that wide receiver group, if they're playing a team, you know, that's somewhere in their capability level, I guess, you know, whether we've seen them beat the Colts, we've seen them beat the Raiders, the Commanders and so forth. I think if there's a team that's fairly equal in a lot of ways, talent wise to the Titans, the Titans are going to find some way. We've seen that with Mike Vrabel teams over the years. The Titans generally are going to find some way to win. They've been doing it this year with big plays on defense and just enough offense. The problem to me, when you start running into the Kansas Cities, and maybe the Chargers, and the Eagles, of course, have been playing great. The teams that can run up points quickly and fairly easily, that's when this formula and this group of wide receivers is really, really going to be tested. And that's when I'm not so certain that, you know, you can eke out those wins when you're scoring 20, 24 points a game. So, you know, I think the Titans have to really hope that Treylon Burks is back as soon as, I think Denver is the first eligible game that he would be allowed back. Otherwise, they were getting a few downfield shots, you know, from Austin Hooper yesterday. That was a good sign. I think Chico Conquo can help there. But, boy, it's tough to keep using this formula week in and week out when the caliber of opponent starts to rise a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think what Mike Vrabel and this staff does, as well as any I've seen, and I've been around this team a long time, is they're honest with themselves about sort of who they are and what they are at any given moment. And we figured this offense wasn't going to be as explosive at going into this season as we had seen in recent years. And that's been the case with again, we mentioned not more than 24 points a game yet. And Mike Vrabel basically said after the game Sunday, he goes, "Look, this is the formula." He told the people, "If you're looking for us to start scoring 35 a game here before long, don't. You know, this is what we're going to be doing." So, Denard Walker, as a guy who's covered receivers in this league, when you're not afraid of the guys you're lining up against, what kind of chances can you take? What are opposing defenses going to be thinking looking at this group as it is right now?
Well, we saw that Sunday in their defense.
Yes.
I mean, it's hey, that great
it was 10 in the
performance.
box late
10,
in the
probably
game.
if they had 20. I mean, what an amazing job defensively, and it starts up front. Everything in this league is predicated on the play of the front. And Mr. Jeffrey Simmons, he will be a rich man very soon. I know if I had the money, I would pay him right now. Denico Autry continues to hunt his former team. If you're Indy, you're thinking, why in the world did we not sign him back? It just seemed like every play, he's right on Matt Ryan. And I felt so bad for Matt Ryan. I wanted to give him a hug. And Bud Dupree, I mean, this defense was dominating Sunday. I mean, look at what they was able to do. Indy averaged, what, 3.8 yards per carry. They was only able to muster up 65 yards in the running game. I mean, look at this. I mean, Matt was sacked three times. Big Jeffrey got him once, Denico and Bud. And then look at this. What an interesting, I was reading this. It says that Matt Ryan leads the NFL with 12 turnovers this season. Tennessee Sunday, you think about this, 10 of their 19 points, 10 of their 19 points came off of what?
Turnovers.
Turnovers.
And they
And
put
that
the
was the
game
key.
away with
That was the,
the
and they put it away, and that's how you win. So you don't have to put up 35 points if your defense is playing the way that they played Sunday. This was a phenomenal performance. If you're Shane Bowen right now, you're patting yourself on the back saying, you know what? We're pretty doggone good. If you defensive line coach Terrell Williams, you're saying, you know what? This front is coming into their own. If they play the way that they played Sunday against Houston, Denver, Green Bay, I don't think there's no one in this league that can beat this team.
Well, and one thing that defense did Sunday also, and we'd be remiss if we didn't point this out because we have talked about it so much through the first five games, all the big plays that the defense gave up. Indianapolis, their longest gain on Sunday was 20 yards. I mean, that is a huge departure from what we've seen the first couple games. And Mike Vrabel talked about this in his Monday press conference. And Denard, I want you to give us a quick little primer here on zone defense, because Mike Vrabel was saying there are sometimes, you just want the guy to catch it. You just, as long as he's in front of you and you get him to the ground, that's fine. And that maybe guys were too aggressive at times and when they were in zone defending the pass in the earlier weeks. And this that Sunday the Titans did a better job just letting the Colts catch him, get him to the ground and move on to the next play and be happy about it.
We talked about that was eliminating the explosive plays when they come out of the bye. That was the key. Do you remember the Super Bowl? Was it Super Bowl 34 back in 1999?
I do.
Okay. Kurt Warner had about 400 yards passing, but what was the score going into the fourth quarter? It was
16 16.
16, 16 to 16. And pretty much a chunk of that came on. I'm not going to talk about that play. But again, that's the way it works. Listen, when you're playing secondary, let the quarterback throw for 350 yards again. It's not going to hurt you. What hurts you is when they're able to top the defense. When you eliminate explosive plays, you give your unit a chance to be successful. And the Titans, They were phenomenal. I mean, you look at the way that they played Sunday in the secondary. Yeah, let Michael Pittman catch those little 10-yard slants. That's not going to hurt you. Let guys like Paris Campbell catch those. You know, they made some plays, so give it up to Indy. But what Tennessee did Sunday is they eliminated the explosive plays, and they only allowed 10 points.
Simple enough. That's the formula going forward. There was, though, John Glennon, one noticeable personnel adjustment in that pass defense, in that Amani Hooker, back from having missed the previous two games from concussion, but he wasn't lined up next to Kevin Byard as the two safeties all day. Talk us through kind of Amani Hooker's day and how the Titans approached his return to the lineup.
Yeah, and I think what they did impacted the X plays that we just talked about and helped out. And here's the reason why. You know, Amani Hooker played a lot of slot coverage. You know, they let Kevin Byard stick with his usual spot. They added Andrew Adams, you know, as a third safety, and they had Hooker in the slot. But when you put Hooker in the slot, you know, on those early downs, that allowed Roger McCreary to kind of go back outside to his natural position, where he is better outside than he is at slot. He had a very good day. I think just gave up maybe three catches for 11 yards, played about twice as many snaps outside as he had been in recent games. So that was a big development. Another thing that did was it allowed the Titans, you know, playing three safeties more often than a ton of corners, that allowed the Titans to kind of cut back on the snaps for a Caleb Farley didn't play a single defensive snap, and we know what has been going on with the X plays against Caleb Farley. And also Terrence Mitchell, who's kind of his share play, his snaps went way down. You know, he'd been up around, you know, over 50, I think, in two of his last three games. He was at 24. So all that came into play when you make that decision to put Hooker in the slot. And I think it worked especially well against the Colts, because the Colts don't have a ton of those little – really quick slot receivers that have given the Titans trouble. They've got more of the big physical receivers. And when you have that, I think that's a good, you know, matchup to put Amani Hooker in the slot. You know, he's not dealing with a little fast guy in there. And I think it was just a really good all round plan by the Titans defensive coaches.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out really, really well in that, you know, Hooker had 10 tackles. Andrew Adams, who this was his second start back there then, he had 10 tackles, which were a career high for him. And as we mentioned, the 76-yard interception return for a touchdown. And I talked to Adams after the game, and he said, you know, what a difference it was for him having Hooker on the field from a communication standpoint, that pre-snap, basically Amani Hooker was in Adams' ear all day saying, hey, be alert for this. Hey, we're going to go to, you know, Byard's going to call, you know, he's going to change to this call, or, you know, this, that he said, basically everything Amani Hooker was saying all game long happened then and made Andrew Adams' day a lot easier. And, you know, Adams is not a nobody in this league, right? I mean, he's been in the league for 7 years. He's played for the Giants and for Tampa Bay before the Titans signed him off Pittsburgh's practice squad this year. In fact, he was on that Tampa Bay team in 2020 that won the Super Bowl, and he played in all the playoff games that year. So, I mean, this is a guy who knows what's going on out there, but nonetheless, having Amani Hooker back helped him in a number of ways, and that we know that Hooker is good, right? We've had the discussion here about Byron and Hooker being one of, if not the best safety tandem in the NFL, but I think that was another example Sunday of just what Amani Hooker means and does for this defense. We got the Houston Texans coming up this Sunday in Houston, the day after the first two games of the World Series that the Houston Astros are going to be playing in. So while the Texans maybe have not given people in that town a lot to cheer about, there probably should be some good energy in that stadium come Sunday, I guess, at least depending on how those two games go. A young quarterback, Denard Walker, have you watched much of Davis Mills? What do you see from him, or what do you see from the Texans that interests you, or maybe would get your attention if you were a Titans coach?
Well, I watched last year's game, and Davis Mills, and he really impressed me. I mean, the poise that he showed, the leadership ability, and he was a young quarterback. We know he comes from that great system out in Stanford, so they get those quarterbacks there. They're very intelligent. They're very intelligent. But, David, I'm disappointed in you. I'm telling you what, right now you got my heart pumping because you've talked about everybody but the kicking game, and that was the key to Tennessee coming out with a victory Sunday. What? And if I'm Randy Bullock, I'm calling you out right now. David Beauclair, how in the world can you miss a kicker by the name of Fat Randy, 4-for-4. David, I got tears in my eyes thinking about you just absolutely overlooked him, and I'm disappointed in you.
And let's say this. Randy Bullock is having a fascinating season, right? I mean, the guy has missed one kick all year between PATs and field goals. And if he makes that one field goal that he missed, we're having a whole – other level of discussion about the Titans and what they've accomplished, because then they'd be 5-1 and basically running away with the division. None of those kicks Sunday. I mean, yeah, 4-for-4 is a good game. It never felt like any of those kicks were really pressure packed in any way. I mean, the Titans were in control of that game. Am I wrong, John? Help me out here.
Come on, John. Come on, get him, John.
It wasn't quite the pressure that he faced in the opener. We'll say that. But I did get a kind of a little bit of a chuck after the game in the locker room. The Titans PR staff was kind of making a concerted effort. I don't know if you heard them, David. They were kind of saying, Randy Bullock is available, everyone. Randy Bullock, he can talk right now. And I kind of chuckled because generally, unfortunately, that kickers only get recognized either when they miss at the very end or whether they make something at the very end. And that's kind of the situation that Bullock was in this game, that even though he was 4-for-4, none of the kicks were incredible, and none, was the game winner at the end of the game. So we'll recognize Bullock for a job well done, but I don't know if we can go to the extraordinary route for Randy Bullock in this game. But we will pass along your love to the man you have referenced as Fat Randy.
You guys are riders for sure. You guys really are riders, man. I'm disappointed. Well,
let's be honest. This was not Rob Baronis from 60 yards as time expired to beat the Colts, right? I mean, this was. But let's say this though too. It was a different day for Randy Bullock because they needed him to make short field goals. John Glennon, what happened to the best red zone offense in the NFL?
Yeah, I guess we made too much note about it. Is what we did. We gave an awful lot of love to the red zone offense. They had scored 11 straight times in the red zone. They were 12 out of
touchdowns.
Touchdowns, I should say. And they were over 90% in the red zone, which I believe was like about 15% better than the second place team. And then all of a sudden they couldn't go. They were 0-for-2 there against the Colts. It's a little bit like if for some reason Ryan Tannehill can't start this week, we're going to give a hard time to one of our fellow media members, Terry McCormick, who clearly wrote a significant story on Ryan Tannehill's great long streak of starts for the Titans, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets hurt there. They found the going a little too tough there. I'm not sure I could pin anything exactly on that outside of similar problems to what we've seen the Titans have in the second half all year, and that is when you can gain very little yardage on first and second down in those kind of situations, it's awfully tough on third down, and it becomes even more difficult on third down in the red zone. Because obviously you're limited in space. So, yes, that streak came to an ugly end. Fortunately for the Titans, Denard's guy, Randy, came through in a clutch.
Yes. And let's give Randy Bullock credit for this as well. His 38-yard field goal, a minute 13 into the fourth quarter, the first fourth-quarter points for the Tennessee Titans all season. Yes. So yeah. I guess Randy deserves his props for that as well.
And then they doubled, yeah, as you say, it was not just one, but two field goals there in the fourth quarter.
And that's right. Then he came back with another one. That one from 48 yards away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Randy has not missed on the PAT front, and I was going to say, let's give those numbers exactly. We referenced him. What is he? 13 for 13 on PATs, 8 for 9 on field goals this season. So that's that is reliable. We'll call him reliable Randy for now. I think Fat Randy feels a little harsh, Denard.
Yeah, well, he said he liked to be called that. That's what they said last year. But what else was amazing? 45 field goals made, with inside 30 yards. I mean, that's consistency. I mean, yeah, that's in a row. That is amazing.
Jinx him on that.
I shouldn't have said that, huh? It's gonna be the I'm trying to give him some love, then I'm a jinxing.
You know, that's an interesting point because Tannehill has been asked about his health once or twice over the last couple seasons, and he sort of goes with it. But I wonder, Denard, are players particularly superstitious? Is it, is there a wide range of feelings about that? Like if you're good and healthy, do you want people asking you about that?
No. not really. You know, guys are not. Everybody's different. You know, that's the thing about a clubhouse. You have, 53 some guys in the locker room, and everybody has their own personality. You don't know what you're going to get. And the writers like you and John, sometimes they kind of prep us into, this is what you need to say. So what we do a lot of times, we give you what you want to hear, not necessarily what you need to know. That was our motto. That's really how players, when we come at you guys, or y'all come at us, we would be like, okay, we're going to give you what you want to hear. But yeah, everybody's different. That's what makes it so special. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth.
No, it's okay. I did a story. I did a story a few years ago. It was about the injury report. And I asked players, I said, you're listed with such and such on the injury report. Like, how likely is that to be the truth? And everybody's like, well, it's, they fudge it a little bit. I remember Will Witherspoon, the linebacker, said to me, yeah, he goes, I was listed. I played one whole season with like a separated shoulder. He said, but they moved it around every couple of weeks. It was my arm. It was my lat. It was this, they kind of kept it moving. So I was on the injury report, but they weren't really saying what it was. And then it was, I guess, in fact, it was 2011. Because I talked to Matt Hasselbeck about it, and he told a great story. He's like, and I said to him, I said, when I ask you about you being on the injury report, how likely are you to be honest with me? And he kind of looked at me, and I said, go ahead, you can say it, I know. And he said, well, not at all. And I said, exactly. And I said, and he said, he goes that, and just to your point, he said, before you get to me, he said, there has been a conversation with the trainer, and there has been a conversation with the coach, and there's been a conversation with the PR staff all about what we're going to say. And he said, and then, like, he said, one time I was on the injury report with a broken rib. He said, but I was listed with back spasms. He said, because back spasms are a symptom of a broken rib. He said, so it wasn't a lie. He goes, but it was, he goes, that's just kind of the way it works. And we should point out the injury report should be interesting this week. In addition to Ryan Tannehill, Ben Jones gutted it out in that game. Jeffrey Simmons gutted it out in that game. Both those guys had to come off the field for a play. I think it was maybe two plays in Simmons' case, but went back in and did their thing. So, This will be one of the more, I guess, big contract injury reports we will have seen for a long time in the Titans, in recent history for the Titans here. And we'll see how they handle it and who makes it to Sunday. Then Denard says, no worries about Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. real quickly here in the little bit of time we have left, Denard, what do you expect to see from the Titans Sunday in Houston?
Come out early. Play the way that you played Sunday. Come out with a sense of urgency. This is a team that is struggling. They got beat up Sunday by Las Vegas. Was it 20-38? This secondary for Houston, they got some talent, Darius Stingley Jr., but he is young. They play a lot of zone, what we call press bell coverage. Everything is played over the top. They're going to give you those easy throws. Take advantage of what they give you. And then in a running game, again, you know what Derek is capable of. Putting up numbers against this defense. They're defensively, they're decent. They got some talent, but I just feel like Tennessee can come out if they impose their will early. This game can be, it can get out of hand. And I feel like Tennessee can go down there and dominate Houston.
John Glennon, what do you expect?
I expect it to be a bit of a struggle, honestly. I don't know. There's not, when you look at Houston's roster and what they've done so far this year, there's not necessarily a lot that should scare the Titans. Mm-hmm. This is a division game. It's a rivalry game. And generally speaking, these teams have gone back and forth during the year. And we all remember that Houston came into Tennessee and won last year. So I expect another tight one. And we'll see if the Titans formula will work once more on Sunday.
I'm going with Denard. I think the Titans win big on this one. I think they make it look easy. They look good, and we'll have something different to talk about next week. And until then, we thank you as always for listening. This is the Believe in Titans podcast brought to you by Bet Online. Everybody have a great week.